Welcome to Gospel Truth with Andrew Womack, a teaching ministry that focuses on God's unconditional love and grace. And now, here's Andrew.
Welcome to our Tuesday's broadcast of the Gospel Truth. Today, I'm continuing a series that I started last week talking about a hardened heart. And the very first part of this, I spent 6 days talking about what the crisis is of a hardened heart. Just trying to basically say that a hardened heart isn't just talking about a person who's in total rebellion towards God, but any area of your life that you are more sensitive to something else than you are to God, in that area, you're hardened. You know, let me take a verse to help illustrate this out of Matthew chapter 13, I believe it is. And it's talking about the parable of the sower sowing the seed. And in Matthew chapter 13, in between when Jesus gave that parable and when he began to give the explanation of it to his disciples, Jesus said this in Matthew 13, 15. He said, "For this people's heart is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes they have closed, lest at any time they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears, and should understand with their heart and should be converted, and I should heal them." If you've listened to my programs last week, I was talking about what the characteristics of a hardened heart are, and this is basically just describing that. Over in Mark chapter 8, Jesus said people couldn't perceive, they couldn't understand, they couldn't see, they couldn't hear, they couldn't remember. That's what this is talking about. That they can't hear with their ears, their eyes are closed, they can't understand with their heart. So this is describing the same thing. And notice the terminology that he used in verse 15 at the very beginning. It says, "For this people's heart is waxed gross." You know, I was meditating on that, and the Lord showed me one time that this terminology, their heart has waxed gross. It actually is a word picture from the way that candles were made. I don't know if any of you have ever seen the old-fashioned way that they used to make candles, but I've been to some of those places, and they'll have a vat of hot wax, and they'll have these things with just little wicks hanging down, strings hanging down, and what they'll do is get this wax hot, and then they'll dip that wick in there for just a second and pull it up and let it just stay out of the hot wax for about a second. And in a second, that coating of wax on there hardens. And then they'll dip it again, and it puts another coat on there, and they dip it. And this thing just goes over and over and over, hundreds and hundreds of times. And eventually, you have an entire candle that is made around this wick, and that's the way that it's done. It is waxed. That's the way that a wax candle is made. And when the Lord talked about that their heart has waxed gross, this is what he's talking about. It's not a one-time deal. A person's heart doesn't become hardened towards God just instantly like that. But it's a process. It's very similar to a callus. When you go work, you know, you I don't know exactly how all this works, but you somehow or another you put pressure or strain upon your skin, and you form a little layer of skin that gets a little bit tougher. And if you keep doing this, you'll get tougher and tougher and tougher, and eventually you can get a callus that is just so hard that you can't even prick it with a pen. I know that when I used to lead singing in our Bible studies 5 or 6 nights a week, I played the guitar, and my fingers where I played the guitar became so hardened that they tried to prick my finger to get a blood sample one time, and they actually broke a needle. They couldn't prick it because I had so many calluses on my finger from playing a guitar. And so that doesn't happen just all at once. It's over a period of time. And this is describing the way our heart becomes hardened. It's a process. It doesn't happen all at once. A person doesn't just have a sensitive heart towards God and then wake up one day and something happened and boom, they instantly hard-hearted towards God. It's a process, and it takes a long period of time. And it takes a long period of time for your heart to become hardened, and it takes a period of time for your heart to become softened. And you know, this is really discouraging to some people, especially if you have agreed with what I said last week about how bad having an insensitive heart to God is, and you now realize that you've got that problem, and if you want to turn it around, this is very discouraging to some people to think that, man, it could take me a year or 2 years or 5 years to overcome some of the insensitivity in my life. And I can understand why that would discourage a person, but here's the positive side of this. In the same way that it may take a while for you to turn from a hardened heart into a sensitive heart, the positive side of that is that once you do sensitize your heart towards the Lord, it takes a period of time for you to become hardened. Now, see, that's encouraging to me because that means that I can't just turn away from God instantly. It's not something that you can do accidentally. There are steps and stages and time after time after time of denying the leadership of the Lord and turning away from God that it takes to desensitize your heart. Here's another way of saying it, that, you know what, I believe that I am capable of doing anything that any other man is capable of doing. I could turn against God. I could get into sexual immorality. I could lie. I could steal. I could do all kinds of things. I'm a person. I have the capability that anybody has, but I couldn't do it today. You know why? Because my heart is fixed on God. Because my heart is sensitive to God. And Proverbs 23:7, as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. My heart is after God right now. And I believe that if I was to quit seeking God, if I was to start denying God and just intentionally turn away from God and reject His leadership and not fellowship with Him and follow what God's telling me to do, I could eventually harden my heart towards Him that I could do anything that anybody else could do. But it's a process. And because my heart isn't that way, because my heart is after God, I can tell you I cannot commit adultery today. I cannot lie and steal and do a lot of things that Satan would love to get me into doing because my heart is after God. It's like going 1,000 miles an hour. You know, if you were going at that speed, you can't make a U-turn on a normal street. Man, it would take a huge curve for it to be able to turn if you're going 1,000 miles an hour. Or if you were to put on the brakes, it would take a long time for you to slow down enough to reach a speed that you could safely make a U-turn. But if you're only moving at 2 or 3 miles an hour, you know what? You can make a U-turn on just a normal city street. The point I'm saying is that you can get your heart so after God that in the same way, some people might be discouraged that it takes time for our heart to change. But the positive side is that once your heart is changed and once it's going after God, it takes time for you to turn away from God. And so you can actually take this fact that it takes a period of time, your heart has to wax gross or wax sensitive. You can use that to your advantage. Once you start going in the right direction, once you start sensitizing your heart to the Lord, you can just start building up momentum and you can get to going after God and you could even have something happen to you. You could have a tragedy happen in your life and yet your heart is so after God, you just don't know how to disbelieve God. Again, I've used this testimony before, but when my son was raised from the dead, one of the reasons that I didn't fall apart and that I didn't get into fear is because I was seeking God so much that I just couldn't help it. I started praising God right in the middle of a bad situation when before I knew that my son was going to be raised from the dead, I just had spent a lifetime praising God independent of my circumstances. And because my heart was set that way, you know what? It just kept going that way. And praise God, the end result was that after being dead for nearly 5 hours, my son was raised from the dead. Praise God. So this will work for you. You can, it just takes a period of time, but it can work for you. So anyway, I've already discussed what a hardened heart is, the characteristics of it, and all of those things. What I want to do today is start sharing with you what the Lord showed me about what causes our heart to become hardened towards Him. And this is going to be so simple when I say it that some of you are going to miss it. And so I'm just warning you up front that this is profound, this is powerful, even though it is simple, and you really need to just open up your heart and try and grab hold of this truth, because if you can get this and understand it, it will radically change you. There's basically two things that harden our heart towards God that I can see from Scripture. Let me deal with the first one over here out of Hebrews chapter 3, verse 7. Wherefore, as the Holy Ghost saith, today if you will hear His voice, harden not your hearts as in the provocation in the day of temptation in the wilderness. So this is, again, talking about hardening your heart. This is a quotation from, I believe, Psalms chapter 95, and it's comparing us to the Israelites that came out of the land of Egypt, and yet in the wilderness they turned against God, they hardened their heart, they didn't follow God, they became resistant towards God, and He's warning us not to do this. And it says in verse 12, take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God, but exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. So this scripture just makes it very clear that sin hardens your heart towards God. And again, let me just make the connection here for somebody who may not do this on your own. I teach about the grace of God. I teach that God loves us unconditionally. And I put such emphasis on that that I have people criticize me all the time and say, boy, you're just telling people that they can go live in sin. That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying that God loves you even if you live in sin. Your living in sin doesn't affect God's attitude towards you, but sin will harden your heart towards God. You know, I just recently, within the last couple of years, got kicked off of a whole network of radio stations because I talked to the station manager and he says, you're encouraging people to sin. I've never encouraged anybody to sin. Anybody who takes my teaching on the fact that God loves us in spite of our actions and says that I'm encouraging sin, they're one of two things. Either you are out and out lying and misrepresenting me, or you have not heard what I'm trying to say. I am not encouraging anybody to sin. I'm just saying that your sin doesn't affect God's attitude towards you. God has paid for all of your sin, past, present, and even future sins are wiped out. Sin is not the issue with God. God loves you independent of your action. Does that mean then that you're just free to go live in sin? It means that God will still love you if you go live in sin. He's not going to withdraw. He's not going to punish you and judge you. He's already placed all of your punishment and judgment upon Jesus. But does that mean that you're free to go live in sin? Well, it means that if you live in sin, this verse says your heart becomes hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. And I just spent the previous 6 days of our television program telling you that a hardened heart equals spiritual retardation. You can't see, you can't hear, you can't perceive, you can't understand, you can't remember. You are just spiritually retarded. It's like you can't function. Why would anybody want to do that? So, if you've understood what I've said, sin, living a life of sin, will harden you towards God. Here's the Holy Spirit convicting you, saying, don't lie, don't steal, don't commit adultery, don't get into pornography. Don't do these things. And every time you go against what God leads you to do and you go contrary to it and live a life of sin, you put another layer of callousness between your heart and God. And you just do that over and over and over and over. And you keep doing it and eventually you get to a place that God could be yelling at you and you'd never hear it because your heart has become so dull of hearing. Like it says in Matthew 13:15, that their heart is waxed gross and their ears are dull of hearing, their eyes can't see. Why would anybody want to do that? So one way that your heart becomes hardened towards God is through sin. So hear me clearly. If you are living in sin, stop it. That's just simple. And anybody who's saying that I'm encouraging sin, you're either lying or you have just totally missed everything that I'm saying. That is not the point that I'm trying to make. Sin hardens your heart towards God based on these scriptures in Hebrews chapter 3. So if you're living a life of sin, if you are disobedient to God in something that He's telling you to do, quit doing it because that hardens your heart towards God. Now, I could minister on that a lot, but that's all I'm going to say about that because this is basically what the church has been preaching. They just hammer sin and tell you not to sin over and over and over. And I feel like that that's being said certainly enough, probably to an excess. And so I don't feel like I have to harp on that. But here is another thing that causes your heart to become hardened towards God that I think most people have missed. And that's found over in Mark chapter 6. These are the verses that I used to begin the teaching on hardness of heart last week. And you remember that the disciples were told to get into a ship and go to the other side. They came into a storm, and after 9 to 12 hours out on this lake that is normally a 2-hour trip across the lake, after 9 hours, they were only halfway across. It looked like they were going to drown. Jesus came walking on the water. They saw him. And Peter says, "If that's you, bid me come unto you." And so Peter got out of the boat, walked on the water to Jesus, took his eyes off of Jesus, began to sink. Jesus lifted him up. They walked back to the boat, got into the boat, and immediately the boat and the disciples were translated to the other side of the lake. The wind was over. The sea was calm. It was a great miracle. It says in Mark 6:51 that when the disciples saw this, they were sore amazed in themselves beyond measure and wondered. And verse 52 is the verse that God really began to start using to give me revelation about this hardness of heart. And it says in verse 52, "For they considered not the miracle of the loaves, for their heart was hardened." And last week I was really using these verses to show that if you are shocked to see the miraculous power of God, then you have a hardened heart. If you relate easier to the natural way of doing things than you do the supernatural things that God does, then you've got a hardened heart. And that's a powerful truth. But look at this. It says in verse 52, "For they considered not the miracle of the loaves, for their heart was hardened." This is making a direct relationship between their heart being hardened and what they considered. And here is one of the major points that I want to get across. And this is one of the things that God uses that has just revolutionized my life. That whatever you consider, your heart becomes sensitive to. Whatever you fail to consider, your heart just naturally, automatically, instantly starts becoming insensitive to. Now, that's a major point. Whatever you consider, your heart starts becoming sensitive to that. Whatever you fail to consider, your heart starts becoming insensitive to that. Now, again, it's a process, like I was saying in the beginning of my program. But whatever you consider, the word consider, according to the dictionary, here's what the dictionary defines the word consider as. It means to study, ponder, deliberate, or examine. Or I believe a scriptural word that embodies all of those characteristics that we just named is to meditate. So the word consider means to study, ponder, deliberate, examine, or to meditate. I think you could also say that it's focus. It's not just talking about individual pieces of information, but it's talking about you've got to be focused on that. For instance, in the area of healing, I'm sure that there are many of you that know that God can heal. And you might even know that God wants you to be well. You might believe that it is God's will to heal every single person. As 3 John chapter 1, verse 2 says, "Beloved, I wish above all things that you may prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospers." That's God's will for you. There are some of you that know that truth. And yet, when sickness knocks on your door, when the doctor tells you you've got an incurable disease and you're going to die, you are unable to appropriate the healing that you believe that is there for you. Why is it? It's not because you don't know the truth, but it's because you are insensitive to that truth just by neglect. You haven't focused on it. You haven't been dominating yourself with that. Most of us spend more time watching secular television and listening to terrible junk that is glorifying sickness, causing you to have emotional fear about sickness, pity, and all of these kind of things. You hear tragedy, and you know what? When the doctor tells you you're going to die, then all of this stuff that you've been doing, seeing other people suffer and the terrible effect that it had, all of those things come to bear on you. And yet you may have this piece of information over here that by His stripes we were healed, 1 Peter 2:24. But you have been considering, studying, pondering, deliberating, examining, meditating upon, focusing upon all of the negative things, just relating to being human, just relating to being normal. You've been watching shows that don't portray somebody taking their faith and saying, in the name of Jesus, I'm healed, and instantly they're healed of an incurable disease. But instead, you've been watching people that just die, person after person after person, when they get sick. And without even realizing it, you know what? You've been studying, pondering, deliberating, and examining, and just being normal, just being natural. And what that does, that makes you sensitive to the way everybody else lives and insensitive to what God has provided. You might still know that you could miraculously be healed by the power of God, but you haven't spent as much time meditating on that as you have just the way that most people relate. And so you are sensitive to, therefore dominated by the natural realm and insensitive to the supernatural realm. You might know the truth, but the truth isn't having an impact on you because you have been more dominated, focused upon considering the natural realm. So I go back to this statement that what you consider is what is going to dominate you. What you fail to consider is going to cease to dominate you. And you might know the truth, but that truth isn't going to set you free unless you're focused on it, unless you're considering it, unless you're being dominated by it. Now, that is a major point. You know, I've made this point so far today that there's two things that very clearly the Scripture says hardens your heart. Hebrews chapter 3 says sin will harden your heart. If you're living in sin, quit it. This is why you should live holy, not so that God will accept you. He's accepted you on the basis of what Jesus had done. But you need to live holy and get out of sin because it hardens your heart, makes you spiritually retarded and insensitive towards God. So quit living in sin. But a second thing that hardens your heart that most people are not aware of, and therefore they allow this to come into their life and destroy them, is that you, if whatever you are focused upon, whatever you consider, your heart becomes dominated, tied to that. And most of us are living in the natural realm so that we are controlled by natural thinking, by natural results, just human ability, human power. We may know that God has the power to heal, that God has the power to bless and to prosper financially, and that God can do these things, but we don't spend as much time focused on the supernatural power of God as we do the negative, carnal things of this world. And so because our heart considers these carnal, physical, natural things more than we consider spiritual things, we are dominated by the natural more than we're dominated by the spiritual. And see, some people don't understand this. They think, well, I know it's God's will for me to be healed. It's not what you know that's going to set you free. It's the truth that you know and are focused on. It's really basically how much effort, how much time, whether you consider. The word consider, again, means to study, ponder, deliberate, examine. And we just aren't focused, committed to the things of God the way that we should be. You know, I've got a lot more to share about this, but I'm going to have to continue it on my program tomorrow. I encourage you to listen then, and also listen as our announcer gives you information about how you can get these products on hardness of heart. And please call or write today.
The faithful support of partners makes this program possible. We invite you to join Andrew as he spreads the message of God's unconditional love and grace. Write, call, or visit our website and become a partner today.
Andrew's complete teaching series titled Hardness of Heart is available on either CD or on DVD as seen on our daily TV program. Each is offered for a gift of any amount. Remember to specify the CD or DVD when you order. This series is also available for audio download absolutely free on our website. Go to awmi.net and click on Audio Teachings on the left-hand side of the page. Or, if you prefer, the Hardness of Heart teaching series is available in book form when you send a gift of any amount. The second audio teaching in today's series is available for a gift of any amount when you write or call. We encourage everyone to give, but if you're simply unable to afford it, Andrew and his partners will provide this second CD titled The Cause, Part 1, free of charge. We'd like to remind you that we're offering Andrew's latest book titled Effortless Change for a gift of any amount. Contact us today to get your copy. You can use your credit card to order resources by telephone. Our helpline number is 719-635-1111. Helpline hours are Monday through Friday from 4:30 a.m. until 9:30 p.m. Mountain Time. If the lines are busy, you can visit our website where you can order ministry materials 24 hours a day, 7 days a week at awmi.net. To write us, use the address on your screen. We appreciate your generosity and hope to hear from you today. We'd like to point out Andrew's upcoming speaking schedule. Mark your calendars to come meet Andrew at one of these events and let the Word of God transform your life. He'll be in Houston, Texas next week for a Gospel Truth Seminar, February 10th through the 12th, and in Colorado Springs, Colorado for Charis Bible College Campus Days, March 9th through the 11th. He'll also be in Orlando, Florida for a Gospel Truth Seminar, March 31st through April 2nd, in the Washington, D.C. area for a Gospel Truth Seminar, April 14th through the 16th, and in Broken Arrow, Oklahoma for Pastor Bob Yandian's Ministers Conference, April 27th through the 29th. For more details on Andrew's next meeting in your area, call our helpline or visit our website at awmi.net.
John chapter 14, verse 1. The very first thing that Jesus told his disciples, he says, "Let not your heart be troubled."
When I looked into his face, I saw his eyes flittering. And so I yelled at him and I says, "You are not going to leave me."
Next thing I know, I'm down in the emergency room at the stroke center in Harris Methodist in Fort Worth.
One third of Alan's brain had not received blood.
The MRI scan of the brain showed a massive stroke.
They told me he was paralyzed on the left side. They told me that he could not swallow. They told me he could not speak.
They were saying he's going to need a stomach tube to be fed the rest of his life.
We were not very optimistic about the outcome.
We had spent that time in Christian survival. We had spent that time in harnessing your emotions. And I was harnessing my emotions. I was completely under control. And that's what disturbed the doctors the most. They were not going to speak death over him, because his life was in the balance. And I knew the truth, and the truth was going to set him free. And I knew it. I knew it would set complete. It would set everything free.
For more information on this and other stories, visit awmi.net. Click on Ministry News and discover what's happening at Andrew Womack Ministries. Invest yourself in Charis Bible College and Andrew Womack Ministries today.